Hi everyone, this is Willie Crawford, and I'd like to welcome you to another edition of Willie Crawford Teaches Real Internet Marketing. We're joined this afternoon by Ms. Kathleen Gage. Kathleen is known as the Street Smarts Marketer. Kathleen is recognized as a creative and effective internet marketing advisor who works with spiritually minded coaches, speakers, authors, and consultants who are ready to turn their knowledge into money-making products and services. She does this by teaching them e-product development, internet marketing, multimedia program development, self-publishing skills, teleseminar development, and developing mentoring courses that they can offer their clients. Kathleen is an award-winning speaker and business owner who has hundreds of books, e-products, teleseminars, and interviews to her credit. Her four hard copy books are 101 Ways to Get Your Foot in the Door, Message of Hope, Inspirational Thoughts for Uncertain Times, and Workplace Miracles, Inspiring Stories and Thoughts of Possibilities, and her best-selling book, The Law of Achievement. She's also the author of her signature series, Street Smarts Marketing and Promotions. Today, Kathleen is going to share insights into the truth about making money with teleseminars. You'll discover how teleseminars can help you to build your business, increase market reach, and increase revenue like never before. So be sure to have a pen in hand because I guarantee she's going to cover a lot of great information with you today. And with that, Kathleen, thank you for taking time out to join us today.
Willie, it's great to be here, and I appreciate you inviting me to talk to your listeners.
And I see they're filling up the chat room and they're on the line, so this should be an excellent session today. For our listeners who aren't familiar with you, and I know quite a few are because I see you on places like Twitter and I tweet over there that I'm starting my shows and et cetera. But for the ones who aren't familiar with you, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and your business?
Okay, I'd be happy to. I actually started my business 15 years ago. When I first started my business, I was a platform speaker. I did a lot of work within corporate America, and I got a contract with a seminar company that put me on the road for about 4 years. I'd be home maybe 1 week out of the month, and the rest of the time I was on the road, going from location to location in the United States, Canada, and Europe, doing presentations that had primarily to do with time management, leadership, assertive communication skills for women, and did that for the four-year period until I got completely burnt out of traveling, and I really wanted to be home a little more. It was kind of nice for my dog to know who I was when I walked through the door, and it was getting
right
to the point he didn't know who I was. So I decided to end that contract, and I was living in Salt Lake City at the time and worked on getting a lot of local business. What's interesting is during that time, a company in Salt Lake City had heard about me. They invited me on board, and I suspended operations in my company for about a year and a half, and I was the vice president of operations for a career development company. During that time, I was able to use a lot of really creative marketing ideas, and we actually increased revenues by about 80% in a multi-million dollar company. And the most amazing thing is I was just at the beginning stages of using email to market different things that we were doing. And the model I now use in my own business and what I teach my clients is pretty much you have to be a resource before you're a vendor. And what we did with this company is we would do live presentations where we wouldn't charge people to go to these presentations. And it was about how to find a job in the hidden job market. And then we would sell them into our 8-week training program, and the 8-week training program was $3,500, and that was quite a few years ago, so today it would probably be $6,000 or $7,000. And we found that our revenues started just going through the roof because people got a taste of what we were doing. After a year and a half, I decided I wanted to go back into my own business and started building it up again in the Salt Lake market, and then 9/11 hit. And 9/11 pretty much wiped out our industry, where speaking engagements were canceled, contracts were canceled, conferences were non-existent for a period of time. And so what I did is, wanting to really pay the mortgage and pay my bills, I decided that I was going to use that same premise of be a resource before you're a vendor. And I started putting on free presentations on how to market a small business, because I had been marketing my own business, was pretty successful with it, had been teaching other people how to market their small business. And what I did is I created an information product where I would put on these free presentations, and then I would sell a one-day training. And at the time, I think it was $299 I was charging for the one-day training. the first time I did it, I made $7,000, and I thought, let's see if it works. And another time, so I did it again, and the revenues just kept increasing. So that really was the foundation of what I now do with internet marketing and how I got so involved in internet marketing. One, you've been a big influence on me. I can remember for years I was watching what you were doing, and I was really impressed with the way that you communicated with your market. And I consider you to be one of my top mentors that I've learned so much from. And I moved to Eugene, Oregon, and I thought I could replicate what I was doing in Salt Lake in the Eugene market by doing free presentations, speaking at chamber meetings, association meetings, and you would have thought I had the plague. Nobody wanted me to speak. You know, and by that point, I was actually a best-selling author. I had taken a book to bestseller on Amazon. I had gotten a lot of awards for speaking. I was the top business owner in the state of Utah in 2004, so I came in with a lot of credentials. But for some reason, this market was very different. And at first, I got a little bit frightened. It was like, ooh, what am I going to do? But then I decided, okay, if that's not working, what can I make work? And that's when I started really delving into the internet. That was about going on nearly 3 years now, where I just did everything I could to build my business without having to leave my home-based office. And the rest, as they say, is history. I actually am doing better now than I ever have in my business. I'm 100% internet-based with everything I do. And it's really exciting. I have to say that sometimes those forks in the road or those blocks that we have, they can be pretty frustrating, but they can also be the biggest blessing that we have in our businesses.
I agree with you 100%, and I can certainly relate to being a road warrior, because I've spoken in numerous countries myself and often would ask myself, you know, why am I flying all the way to Singapore or someplace like that to speak? It was, you know, almost insane, and my dog certainly had separation anxiety.
You can tell by their behaviors. And, you know, and it's interesting when you start knowing airports and hotel lobbies better than you do your own home, you know you've been on the road a little bit too much. And that's what I love about the internet. I have the choice now of, do I want to travel or do I want to just stay home? And I have to say, I really like staying home and the life that it affords me.
I do too. Teleseminars are becoming a big part of my business. That's why when I saw what you were doing, I really wanted to learn more, because anybody can, you know, get a telephone and get on it and talk. But most people, even the biggest internet marketers that I know, will often do teleseminars where they're disappointed with their results, you know, when they're doing it to make sales. And so regardless of what the teleseminar is set up for, a lot of people just don't know how to do them. And so I certainly am learning a lot from you, and so that's why I was so looking forward to this call. I think that our listeners will learn quite a bit from you, and the call is being recorded, so they'll even be able to access it in our archives later on, because a couple will come and go during the call, but I hope most will stay and check out the things we tell them about. Now, you generate a great deal of your revenue from teleseminars. Has that always been a part of your business model?
You know, it has not, and it really has been in the last couple of years that I've been very proactive about using teleseminars. The first one I ever did was back when I lived in Salt Lake City, and I had watched a few people that appeared to be doing quite well with teleseminars, and I thought I figured out what the formula was. Did my first teleseminar with my business associate. She owned her business, I owned my business, but we collaborated on quite a bit of projects, and we promoted it. We got, I think, 50 people on the call the first go-round, and I thought that was great. Now if I don't get 1,000, I think something's wrong. But we put together this brochure, and it wasn't anything like what I put together today. It was too detailed. It was it looked too corporate for the market that we were really going after. And we decided that a nice bonus for people calling in, and this was just for calling in, they would get an hour free consulting from both of us. And I'll tell you, that was a huge mistake, because we had the 50 people who wanted the hour free consulting, but they didn't buy the program that we were selling. Here's a couple of things that we did wrong. We were both very, very well positioned in the Salt Lake market, and pretty much I call it Queen of the Mountains, where we could write our own ticket. If we wanted to do an event, we had organizations that would sponsor us. They would sponsor the room. They would sponsor the AV equipment, the marketing, everything. And so we assumed, because we were so well known in the Salt Lake market, that we could replicate that on the internet without taking into consideration that there were other expenses that people would incur if they came to one of our trainings. So we thought, okay, we're going to put on a weekend boot camp. We're going to teach people how to do presentations, how to reach the corporate market, on and on and on. And we had one person who signed up for our training. It was an $895 package. She lived in the Salt Lake market. She knew who we were. The rest of the people said, I can't afford the travel, I can't afford the hotel, I can't afford the registration. So we really didn't pinpoint what we needed to. We ended up giving away the 50 hours of free consulting time, which almost broke both of us, physically, emotionally, all of that. It was just a little bit too much to do in a short period of time. But what I learned from that was there's certain distinctions in marketing a teleseminar compared to a live event. And one is that you cannot expect people who have never heard of you to travel far distances to come and go to a seminar. So we had to learn that lesson. Two, the way that you market and how you sell at the end of a call is very different than selling from the platform. There are some similarities, but there are major distinctions. Once I really understood the process, and I actually got some mentoring, I went through some training, I got some information products, and I studied it like crazy. I just thought, okay, I'm not going to make this, I'm not going to let this get the best of me. And I have to say that that's one of my personality quirks. If something goes wrong, I'm going to figure out what it was and make it work. If it's
we sound a lot likely. A lot of life.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've had a period in my life where I couldn't make anything work, and now it's like, okay, I'm going to figure this out. But the main thing I learned was you really have to position yourself in a way that you create so much value for the marketplace that they feel comfortable spending money with you. And I think more and more there's so much competition out there, and there's a lot of misinformation. And I think with many people, they buy into this whole get-rich-quick mentality, and
right.
It's not going to happen. Teleseminars can be a great cornerstone for your business, and there's a number of different ways that you can actually make money with teleseminars, which I'd love to talk about at some point in our conversation. But I would say now teleseminars with the products and services that I sell is probably 60 to 70% of my revenue stream.
Okay, and I've read your websites, and being an internet marketer who often will go to a hypey website where somebody will say, you know, make $50,000 overnight, I found it refreshing when you said, you know, you too can make $20,000 from a teleseminar, you know, because people can see that and go, well, yeah, I can see doing that, but
right.
the hype, you know, turns people off, and again, coming from the internet marketing space, I know that many people exaggerate, you know. <It's not good. laughs>
Really?
Putting it politely. Because I'm an affiliate marketer, and I'll be in like a sales contest with somebody or promoting a product, and they'll say, you know, we sold whatever, and I'll think, okay, I came in third place, and I only sold like 20 units, so how'd you sell that many, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so I you know, that's how I know that there is a lot of hype out there. So I appreciate the honesty and the straightforwardness and just your teaching in general. It's very, very refreshing. Now, this is sort of a two-part question. You've done really well with teleseminars. While I do see a lot of other people struggling with them, what are some of your secrets to success with this type of revenue stream? And if you would, share with us what you'd consider a successful teleseminar that you've done.
Okay, that's actually a great question. Some of the secrets, if you will, and there are really no secrets, it's marketing 101, is you have to know that you have a market. You have to have an area of expertise that your market will want to buy, and you have to find out what your market even wants. And I have a client that I was coaching yesterday, and she said, I am so glad that you told me to survey my market, because I was offering classes at night, and I wasn't getting a good response. Once I surveyed my market, I found out they wanted to do the classes during the day. She has a lot of stay-at-home moms that during the day it just wasn't, or during evenings it just wasn't working for them. And so by asking one simple question, she now is in a better position to give them what they need. And then she asked them, what is your greatest challenge in business? And what's interesting is it wasn't what she thought it was. Many times what we do in business is we create our programs or our services in a vacuum. We create it based on what we think people want rather than really finding out what is their need. And a great question to ask your market is, what keeps you awake at night? What is the one thing that if you could find a solution for it, you would do well? Last month, I did a preview call that I just rolled out the program yesterday or the day before. It's on how to become an Amazon.com bestseller. And not only have I done that for my own book, I have done that for many of my clients. And I have a formula that really works. It's a very systemized approach to driving sales on a particular day. And what I did is, before I ever created the teleseminar content, the paid content, I had to find out, first of all, if there was a need in the marketplace. And this is where I hope people are taking notes, because many times what people do is they do busy work. They start creating before they even know if there's really a need. So what I did is I posted on a number of different locations, Twitter, Facebook, through my own opt-in list, media releases, a number of different ways that I market my teleseminars. And I advertised that I was doing a preview call on how to become an Amazon.com bestseller. And I let people know this was a preview call to my 4-week mentoring course. So before I created anything, I just wanted to see if there was interest. In about 24 to 48 hours, I had 300 people signed up. By the time I did the teleseminar, I had almost 1,000 people signed up. And what I did is I surveyed them as they signed up. Probably about 70% answered the questions on the survey. They basically told me what their pain points were. What did they want to learn? And interestingly enough, and it absolutely blew me away that this was a reality, 85% said they did not know how to use the internet in marketing their books. And right there, I knew what their pain point was. So what I did is I created a sales letter based on what they told me. I actually even used some of their terminology, because in sales, when you use the customer's terminology, you're speaking their language. And it can be slight little distinctions, Willie, where you know one word other than another word they can relate to better. So we did the preview call. At the end of the call, I introduced my 4-week program, and I had an outline of what I was covering. Still not developing the program. I knew I had all the information to develop it, but I didn't want to do it until I saw there was an interest. When I sold $20,000 worth of training, I said, well, I guess now I've got to create it. But I had the general flow of what I wanted to present to them. And when they expressed that kind of an interest, then I did develop the program. But the whole thing that I would encourage people to do is, first of all, find out if there's a need in your market. And one thing that I've seen, not only in internet marketing, but when I was doing a lot of professional speaking, people develop, and I think that's an avoidance strategy. It's an avoidance of being rejected. So as long as you're busy, you don't have to go out and ask for the sale. But if you go out and ask for the sale, you may get rejected, but that's part of doing business. But you can minimize the rejection if you know what your market wants. It's finding the right market for who you are and the fit for what your expertise is. And a lot of times people just start chasing after business without even knowing who they're chasing after.
And we see so many people in internet marketing in particular who they just come up with an idea, they think it's a great idea, they create a product, and then don't understand why the market's not tripping over itself for that product.
Because their mother and father told them it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the thing, Willie, is that when you're asking for input, ask from the right people. Your family, they may be too afraid to say that it's not what they would have an interest in, and they may not even be your business, your market. So don't ask your family. Don't ask your best friends. Go to the people who actually are going to pull out their credit card and pay for your products and services, and ask them, what is it that you need? Now, if you're qualified, then you go to the next level. I think one of the worst mistakes people can make is trying to be something they're not, trying to put a round peg into a square hole, or doing something they really don't believe in. I have such a passion for what I do, and that's what I teach my clients. If you're going to create something, why not create something you're passionate about?
Absolutely. Makes perfect sense to me. And you know, For years, I watched people come online, decide what they were going to sell their customers, and totally missed the mark and spent months trying to sell things that nobody wanted. So, that tip about surveying your customers is something that our listeners absolutely positively must do. Now, you say there are a lot of different types of teleseminars, though. What would those be, you know, the different purposes, I guess, that you do teleseminars?
Well, there's a few different ways that somebody can actually make money from teleseminars. As a solopreneur, you can offer your information on what I do refer to as a preview call, and in the speaking industry, we call it a dog and show. You get out there, you do a free presentation, and if people like what you have, they buy back the room. So you have a preview call where pretty much you create everything. It's your ideas. It's the flow you want. You have no limitations on it whatsoever other than what the market demands. The next way that you can actually make money, and I've done all three ways that I'm going to talk about, but the next way you can make money is actually to get contracted by companies that either don't have the resources, the time, or the knowledge on how to create teleseminars, and you go in and you're the behind-the-scenes person where
okay.
you get everything set up. Great way to use your talents with the right kind of clients. I have one dental lab I've done a lot of work with, both live presentations and teleseminars, where I've done the behind-the-scenes work, and they didn't have to worry about anything. All they did was write a check, and the rest, as they say, is history. The next level would be where you're basically the industry expert that they would contract to come in and speak on a particular topic. And this is the beauty of teleseminars for, let's say, a sales trainer. If you have a certain level of expertise as a salesperson and you're teaching other people how to do this, you don't have to get on a plane and go into a hotel to do it. You can actually, from the comfort of your home, you can get contracted by a corporation or an association. And you are the, if you will, the talking head.
Okay, makes perfect sense. And I like that first application, which first method, which is basically a do-it-for-them. They don't really want to learn how to do teleseminars, so you as the expert step in and say, okay, I'll do it for you. That's brilliant, and I don't see that many people doing that in my space, so I like that.
And, you know, there's not too many people that realize that that is a great service that you can offer to companies. I like the autonomy that I have in creating my own. I do enjoy doing it for other companies, but not as much as I do on my own, and that's why I mostly do it on my own now. But there was a period of time where I found that to be extremely lucrative, and so that was one way that I made money with teleseminars. But the whole thing with that, Willie, too, is you have to find a market that wants it. Everything really goes back to how you're going to position your message. Whatever it is you're selling, you have to make people aware that it's available. And you have to show benefit. It's not just saying, hey, I've got this product or service. It's like, what is the benefit to the customer?
That makes perfect sense, and I know one of my markets is actually local offline businesses where I could certainly see being the expert to position and teaching their customers certain things on teleseminars, so I could certainly see using several of the different methods you've talked about. Now, how does someone know, though, what's best for them as far as the different types of teleseminars?
Well, I think it would depend, one, on their personality type, and two, their location, if they do, in fact, have enough business. If you're going to, like what you do, go into local businesses and consult with them that way,
right.
That would have part of the bearing on it. But really, I think it goes back to what's your personality type and what's your skill level. If you have a lot of experience with the mechanics of teleseminars, I think a great way to do it is to contract out to companies. So in a nutshell, more than anything, just personality and availability in the marketplace.
When you do that, I'm sure that you cover this in your courses and things like that, but when you do it with companies, do they get all rights to it, or do you somehow, you know, hang on to part of it?
It depends. You can negotiate any part of that. Usually it's the company's property. When I used to develop training sessions for companies, I would actually give them the rights, and that was all based on the contract. But in some instances, I didn't give them full rights to it. It was like a one-time use, and they had to license it to, let's say I was doing a presentation and they wanted to videotape or record it and use
right.
it for whatever purpose. We had to be very clear on how much they could use that, because they could bring me in once, I do my job, and then they can use it for the next 10 years. Then
and they
I
wouldn't
lose
need
out.
You anymore.
Exactly, exactly. And people that are newer to this type of business, I would say be very cautious when you go into things. Don't get so excited that you don't look at the big picture, because I can remember the first speaking contract I got, where I was with a seminar company, didn't make a whole heck of a lot of money with the seminar company, but once I went on my own, the first contract I got, I think it was $2,000 for a day of training, which now I wouldn't do it for $2,000, but back then I thought I had found the Holy Grail, and I just worked and worked and worked and worked, but I ended up giving them the training program, and I probably put a month's worth of work into it. Well, I didn't look to the future. I was just so excited I had a $2,000 contract.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, you talked briefly, or you mentioned the mechanics of a teleseminar, and we are getting a few questions about tools and things like that in the chat room. What are some of the steps in preparing for a successful teleseminar? We mentioned earlier a lot of people don't seem to know what they're doing when they put them on, and so they often flop. What are some of the steps in preparing for one?
Well, in preparing for one, you need to have a way to deliver the teleseminar. And when I first started out, I was keeping it very on a very limited budget. I was using free conference call, and I had a recording device on my computer, so I had really no expense in the recording and the bridge line that I was using, other than the long distance fee. And if you have unlimited long distance, that's a way to go. So first starting out, I would tell people to look at doing it the most cost-effective way that you can, but don't do it too big, because if you flop and you're doing it big, a lot of people know that you flopped. Start
right.
with a small group of people and fine-tune what you're doing, because it's very different speaking face-to-face with people and then doing a training course, especially if it's just you doing the training. It's one thing having a conversation like what we're having right now, but when you're just talking basically to the wall, it's a whole different process. Another thing that I would recommend is, as you grow your teleseminar business, consider using what I really like, which is instant teleseminars. It's pretty much a turnkey operation where you can you post the information about your teleseminar, and you fill in the blanks, you have a bridge line, you have a private line, and it's a subscription. I think it's $49 a month, and you can try it for 3 weeks for a dollar. So instant teleseminars is a great resource to have, and you can record it. To begin with, though, what you need to know is, what is the topic, and what are the 2, 3, or 4 main points that you're going to be talking about? You have to come up with your sales page or your landing page where people are going to sign up. Before you ever start charging for teleseminars, start with the free teleseminars and do a few of those so that you really get comfortable with the process. Then you have to market what you're going to be doing. I like to market in Twitter, and I know you're in there all the time too. Facebook is a great way to market. You can put it up on the events calendar in Facebook and then invite all your friends. Now, one thing about inviting all your friends is, they may say, yes, I'm going to come to this event, but they may not have gone and registered for the event. So your job is, right before the event, 24 hours before, I would send a reminder to them and say, click here to get the access number. Well, they're clicking right onto your landing page, and they have to fill it out in order to get the access number. Go ahead.
I was going to say, excellent tip. Having given a lot of free teleseminars, which I'm sure you have too, and then with upsells to other products, I know that a good percentage of people who register for free teleseminars don't show up anyway, so you do need your system to remind them of the event. Just because it's free, people sign up for things.
Well, and that's a great point, Willie, because actually one of the early teleseminars I did after my big flop of one person signing up and I had to give 50 hours of coaching away, I figured out some of the things I had done wrong. Well, I did a teleseminar where I had 300 people sign up, and that was back at the time when about 80% of those who signed up would show up. Now you can figure maybe 20% are going to show up, so you have to have a back-end marketing plan. So what happened was, I had the 300 people, and I kind of freaked out because my bridge line was only 97 people, so I switched the number, sent the number out, and something went wrong to where only myself and the person interviewing me could hear. My business partner had called in because we always wanted to do a check and balance, and she goes, I can't hear. So she called somebody and said, call the bridge line, see if you can hear. They couldn't hear. So we finally figured out nobody could hear. I did the teleseminar anyway. We recorded it, and I already had a back-end marketing strategy, and that's something I recommend to people. Don't figure it out after you've done the teleseminar. Have all your checks and balances in place. You should immediately start marketing after you do the free teleseminar. We sent out some messages, and within about 3 days, I made $7,000 on that big mistake. I don't even really know what went wrong with that, but I do know the one thing I did right is I didn't not do it. I went ahead and recorded it, and I followed through with, first of all, an apology to people saying, I'm sorry you couldn't get on the line, but here's the recording and here's the program I'm selling. And sure enough, people bought it. So even when you have something go wrong, you can still salvage it. But you want to... when you're doing a free teleseminar, you want to remind people, and after the fact, you want to make sure you get them the recording as quickly as possible and put the key points that you talked about and say, as I mentioned, I have this program that I'm selling within the next 24 hours. When you purchase it, you get it for X amount, you get all these bonuses. And what you need to do is, if you're doing an urgency sale, you do need to follow through on your own agreements. For example, let's say that you're going to have a program that's $499, and for 24 hours you're going to sell it for $299. After the 24 hours is up, you put it up to the $499 like you promised, because if you don't, people will know that they can't count on your word. You want to make sure that people can trust what you're saying. That's a huge part of making money on teleseminars.
Absolutely. Credibility is everything. We had one question after you mentioned, speaking engagements. Someone was asking if you leverage contacts with other institutions, organizations such as chambers of commerce. I know that's one of the things I do, because I know online a lot of the people I come in contact with, if they're internet marketers, aren't big spenders, but I know that people who are running organizations and clubs and things like that, those are contact people that can put me in touch with certain groups that have deeper pockets, if you will.
Yes, I definitely have done that. As a matter of fact, with the Amazon program that I'm in the middle of teaching right now, one of the things that I'm teaching people how to do is get joint venture partners and also to get sponsors. And this is a rare happening with these Amazon campaigns, that you actually find a corporation or an organization that will sponsor you. Well, we actually leveraged this organization's market reach by giving them a percentage of sales to a literacy program that they had going on. So that was one example of using the leverage of an organization. And yes, with teleseminars, you definitely can. Where you, before you approach organizations with these ideas, you should have a really good idea of what you're going to be pitching, and you want to think of every possible objection that they could have, because it's one thing for you to have an idea and see the vision, it's another for them to get it, especially if they've not been approached with the idea before. So I like to go through every pro and every con. What is the absolute best thing that they're going to get by being a part of this, and what could possibly go wrong? Whenever I've done a proposal with an organization, I show them what the benefit to them is, and I also say, this is what could go wrong. And I also show them that I know there's benefit to me. To just assume that there's benefit to them, I think that people can see through that. So you say, hey, the benefit to me is I have better market reach, I can make more money, and you can have X, Y, and Z. So yes, you can definitely leverage with organizations. I would recommend starting with those that you know somebody in the organization. With our book, the reason it works so well is myself and my co-author had been contract speakers with the organization for 4 years, so they knew our work. They knew us, they trusted us, and they liked us. And that's usually why people will buy from you. They know you, they like you, and they trust you. The trust is a really big key. So, yes, definitely you can leverage.
Now, so one of the people in the chat's asking about how to get more information on your Amazon program. Do you want to give that URL out?
Oh, gosh. I would love to, and let me think what it is. It's do you want to send it out to them?
I can send it out later, but if you do have it handy, that's fine, even if it takes a few seconds to look for it.
Actually, I do know what it is. It's Street Smarts, and Smarts is plural, streetsmartsmarketing.com/amazon.htm.
And is it capitalized?
No, A is not. Okay. And if they could mention that they heard it on this program, that would be wonderful. We did do week one. We have everything recorded, and we have 4 more weeks that we're doing some training, including teaching people how to do virtual blog tours.
Okay,
and,
so streetsmartsmarketing.com/amazon.htm.
Yes, yes. Okay. And I do hope that they'll say they're a friend of Willie Crawford's. That would be really nice. You know, because I always like to know. This is another thing about your marketing. You want to know where people heard about you. And I learned this many, many years ago when I was in broadcast media. I had a wonderful sales mentor. She was the sales manager of the radio station. And she said, always find out where people heard about what you're doing or why they called you, because then you can thank the person that they got the information from. And I think this is, in some ways, a lost art in sales, is people forget to say thank you. They forget to say thank you to their customers. They forget to say thank you to the people who are helping them build their business. So that's just kind of a side tidbit.
I agree. I mean, when you thank people who send you referrals, and they're more inclined to send you referrals, and one of the biggest reasons that people in any business lose customers is because the customers feel unappreciated or take it for granted. So you should thank your customers, yes.
You bet.
Ed mentioned to me at one time that you once did a teleseminar where you made nearly $20,000 in sales, and that the marketing costs for that teleseminar were under $50. How'd you do that?
You know, actually, Willie, I've done that many times. I can remember the very first time I hit $20,000. I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And really, sometimes I have to pinch myself and say, is this for real? And I ask my business partner, I say, before I put this sales letter together, let's do a check and balance. Did we really do this? Because I tend to exaggerate. I mean, I live in this world where it's like, okay, let's see how big it can go. And so she keeps me grounded on, okay, this is the reality of what we did. And when she says, yes, in fact, we did it, boom, then I talk about it. But mainly the way that it's been done is I've automated my process, and I have a very systemized approach. And actually, you have a report that I gave you that I would invite you to send the link out to your listeners, because that report will explain a lot of it. But I'm extremely systemized in my approach to business, where I have my opt-in subscriber list. I use one shopping cart as my shopping cart and my autoresponder program. I keep in touch with my opt-in subscribers. I make sure that I have a number of different ways that I can market, and most of them cost me nothing. I do, again, Facebook, Twitter, media releases. I do affiliate campaigns. So getting to a $20,000 payday for under $50 is very doable for virtually anybody once you have your systems in place.
Okay, and that report, that's the one on doing teleseminars?
Yes.
Okay, the URL for that is sagemarketer.com/Kathleen. I've entered it in the chat room, and people listen to the recording later on. It's sagemarketer.com/Kathleen. It's a completely free report, so I do encourage you to get it. And she gives a lot of you can see just from listening to this call how powerful her information is, how experience based it is, and she shares very freely, you know, what she does in her business. So I do encourage you to check out the report, and you know, to make $20,000 and don't spend more than $50 in publicizing what you're going to do. Where else can you do that other than, you know, in what you're doing here? I mean,
it's a beautiful thing. And I have to tell you, what's really exciting is when I first started doing internet marketing, my parents had a really hard time believing that I was actually making the kind of money I was making. And recently my folks celebrated their 60th anniversary, and they were up visiting, and it was when I was launching my campaign. Well, we love to play cards, and we'd play cards, and in between each hand I'd run upstairs and look and see if I made any sales, and I'd come down, oop, made another sale, oop, made another sale. And my dad goes, how much is that today? And I told him, and he goes, wow. And it's just like he just doesn't get it, and yet now he gets excited about it, where early on it was like, no, that couldn't be possible. And I remember when I first really got involved in the internet marketing, and there was one woman marketer who she would promote, learn how to make $5,000 a month doing X. And I thought, wow, if I could just make $5,000 a month. And then she graduated to learn how to make $5,000 to $10,000. Well, by that time I was making $5,000. It was like, wow, if I could just make $10,000. And then it went to $15,000 to $20,000. And it's interesting because it goes in degrees, and that's really what I would encourage the listeners to take away from today also, is that before you can get to the $20,000 payday, you usually have to have some smaller paydays before that time. One, to see that it is possible. I think what happens is a lot of people, they want to go from A to Z with nothing in between, but there is a foundation that you set that will allow you to grow exponentially. But you have to start with that first dollar before you get that first $1,000.
Right.
And then it gets easier and easier.
And you talked about foundations. You also talked about systems. So many people will look at something they see someone like you doing, and they'll try to guess at what you're doing when they don't really need to. They can download the free report that we just told you.
Oh, exactly. And then even beyond that, one of the things that I'm a real advocate of is having mentors. You know, I've bought some of your programs, Willie, and
right.
They're worth every penny of what I've ever spent. And, you know, the last program you did, I didn't hesitate for a minute to say pay, because I knew that you were going to deliver. And see, that's the distinction between me buying something from someone like you and me seeing something come across my desk where they say, oh, I can guarantee you're going to make X amount, and I have no clue who this person is. I probably won't take the risk of investing, you know, $500, $1,000, $2,000-plus dollars unless I know who this person is and I know that they really they walk their talk. So that's something I would encourage people to look at, too, is you need to get mentors, but you need to make sure the mentors you're getting are the real deal.
And even when we were publicizing this call, the headline read, Discover How Teleseminars Can Help You Build Your Business, Increase Your Market Reach, and Increase Revenues Like Never Before. And a big part of that is getting your name out there, getting the name recognition and building credibility in the process. And like you said, people will hesitate to spend big money with you unless you do provide proof that you know you are who you say you are and you can deliver on what you promise.
Exactly. And I'd like to talk, if I may, a little bit about how to get that visibility in your
sure.
market. One way is to do exactly what we're doing right now, where you find somebody who has a market reach that is a complement to your market and arrange to do either a teleseminar or an interview. I actually did a product, I think it was about a year or so ago we first introduced it. It was the radio directory, Internet Web Radio directory, I think it
yes,
was.
Yes, I remember that.
And yeah, and had about 100 different blog talk radio stations where my VA actually had originally put it together for me, and when I saw what she did, it was like, I bet people would want to buy this. And so I put a $27 price tag on it, had a half-hour recording between myself and one of my business associates on how to do a good radio interview, and we introduced it to market and made a pretty substantial amount of money when it was first introduced. But the beauty was is everything that somebody needed to really get started in doing radio interviews was right there, and all they had to do was make the call or send the email to arrange for the interview. So that's one way, is to do radio interviews or set up your own teleseminars. And with the report, you'll have some information on how to market your teleseminars. But again, start with something manageable. Don't try to get 1,000 people on your first call. If you get 20 people on your first call, that's a good result, and then build from there. The secret to getting that visibility is to be really good at what you do. If people like edutainment today. It's education and entertainment. They want to be educated, but they also want to be entertained, because there's so much out there that people can access. So you have to be engaging with your audience. Another thing that will get you visibility and expert status is to write articles and distribute articles online. Now, this is where I've seen some people have a real challenge. They'll write articles, but they get no result from their article. You read their headline, and it's enough to put you asleep.
Right.
You have to have, yeah, and I'm sure you've seen that too, Willie, but compelling headlines. And then once you have compelling headlines, you have to have compelling content, something that solves a problem. And then you have to have a call to action. The whole key is to understand what push-pull marketing is. Push is where you're pushing information out to the marketplace, and pull is where you're bringing people back to you. And it's a combination of the two that can create visibility for you.
Excellent, excellent. And I've seen so many articles that, in particular, I've read, and they, in fact, would probably make me not want to do business with that person because destroy the person's credibility.
That's so true.
I feel a lot of people are just throwing content at the search engines, though, and they're hoping to rank well for terms in the search engines, but that does no good if you lose the customer in the process.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, you're quite an accomplished entrepreneur. Have you always been an entrepreneur?
That's a great question, Willie. And I know you know a little bit about my past, but the reality was that I grew up in a middle class home. Great parents. I mean, they've been together 60 years. My goodness. So they obviously know something about love and relationships. And yet, when I was in my teens and my early 20s, I started making some pretty bad choices. Kind of got into trouble with not only neighbors and the law and all that, but I ended up where I was homeless. And that was in my early 20s. And for a period of time, I would never tell anybody that. I thought, you know, I don't want people to know that because they'll think I'm a bad person or that, you know, whatever they're going to think. And so I kind of kept that quiet for many years. And there were people who thought that I never had challenges, and when I would open up and share some things, they were like, you've got to be kidding. So I think it's really important for people to realize that most people who have reached a level of success, we've also had challenges. So for me, no, I've not always had this type of success, and I think for me it's more of a spiritual success. It's more that I really appreciate life, and what I have found is the more I have to be grateful for that I express, the more I have to be grateful for. Exactly. You and I, you know, we've had some wonderful conversations about gratitude and life and just, you know, all the outward stuff is great. I have to say I love the fact that I can donate to organizations, I can mentor people and not charge them because it's just the right thing to do. But a lot of it really has to do with an appreciation of life. And back in my early 20s, I had no appreciation of life. I felt like a victim. I acted like a victim. I was so afraid of failure that I created it beautifully. I was very good at failure. And I was fortunate enough to get a mentor who basically grabbed me by the collar and said, you know what, you need to wake up. You need to change your attitude. I said, well, you don't understand. If you had my life, yada, yada, yada. And she goes, no, you don't understand. It's your attitude and your beliefs that create the actions that keep you where you're at. You need to start making changes. So little by little, I made changes. And I look back now, and it's just like, holy cow, what a difference. And a lot of it is that I've been willing now to put the time into learning what I need to learn in order to succeed. And I get great mentors. You know, I think that's a big key for people on the call is to look at who you surround yourself with. This whole thing of what's going on with the economy right now, I know it's very real to people. And yet, I don't like to watch the news. I don't like to read the newspaper and all the bad stuff that's going on. I continue to read books that inspire me. I continue to surround myself with people who inspire me, and I continue to be in service. And I think that's a big key to getting out of that space of lack, is to be in service to other people.
You know, and people like Napoleon Hill and his Think and Grow Rich and books like that, they've taught throughout the ages that whatever you focus on, you attract more of. And that's why I actually don't watch a lot of the news, too, because it's so depressing. And, you know, if you watch CNN run the same story every 15 minutes, after a while, you're convinced it's really, really horrible, you know.
I know. It's like, when my folks were here, my dad was watching CNN the whole time, and I was like, why are you watching that? He goes, well, I've got to be kept up to speed on what's going on. It's like, oh, my gosh. And I actually found myself, when they left, I was in somewhat of a mild depression of like, oh, the world is falling apart. This is awful. And it was like, okay, what caused that? Well, it was 3 days of the news being on.
Right, and the same stories, so they emphasize how horrible it is. You know, you talk about who you surround yourself with. I go to local networking meetings, which are meetings of entrepreneurs, and these people will look at even the economy as bad as it is, and they see a bright side to it because there's opportunity even in every obstacle, and it's largely how you choose to perceive it and then you deciding, well, I'm going to look for the bright side and do something about it rather than you know, being a deer frozen in the headlights, you know, actually saying,
exactly.
Well, what can I do now, you know?
Well, you know, I'd like to share a story about that that I think for me always reminds me of how you can take any situation and turn it around. With my book, The Law of Achievement, that's the one that went to bestseller on Amazon.
Right.
The catalyst for that book being written was my business associate. Her husband had a very serious accident. He was in shock trauma unit for 102 days. He was released from the hospital. They didn't even think he was going to live, but he was released in a wheelchair. He couldn't see and he couldn't talk. During his rehabilitation, now she and I had done a lot of business together, but during that time there was no talk of business. She couldn't even go out and fulfill her contracts. So I actually would go out and do the speaking engagements for her under the condition that the clients would send her the money, because they really were in a very tight financial situation with the medical bills. But during that time, we had many conversations about what life meant. And I think when you go through something like that, you really dig deep.
Right.
And that's how the book Law of Achievement came to be. And what was interesting is in a 90-day period from beginning to end, we wrote the book, published the book, got an international sponsor, took it to bestseller on Amazon, and the rest, as they say, is history. But what was most interesting is Troy, while he was recouping, he was so inspired by what we were doing, it actually helped him to heal. And the blessings that have come out of that experience have been phenomenal. And it's not that you would wish an experience like that, but life happens. And it's not really what happens in life. And W. Mitchell, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's a phenomenal speaker. He actually was burned, and he's a quadriplegic, and he has a great story. And he says, it's not what happens, it's what you do with it. And so often what we do is we go right into the victim mode, and we say, oh, poor me, look at this, look at that. Well, life can be tough. It can be really tough. But what are we going to do with that toughness? And what are we going to do to walk through it with grace?
Right, right. Now, you're a very inspirational person to me, and I enjoy talking to you and being around you. We're down to about 10 minutes to go, so I want to do two things. I want to maybe take a question or two from a caller if we have time for it, but before we do that, I want to make sure we tell people how they can learn more from you and about you. So why don't we do that first, and then if the questions...
Okay, I'm going to do that in a way that I really am going to encourage them to get the report, because in the report is my contact information, because I just believe so much in the value of that report that I want them to get that, and then they can find out how to get in touch with me. Would that be okay, Willie?
That's fine, and do that, they go to sagemarketer.com, that's sagemarketer.com/Kathleen, that's K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N. And I put that in the chat room, and it'll be on recording. And I'll actually have this recording transcribed even so that people can just click on the link in a PDF and go check it out. Because I do encourage them to check out the report, too. What's like one thing that you then could maybe recommend to others who want to become more successful?
One thing I would recommend is to have a vision of where you want to go. I have a whiteboard in my office where I write figures up there, and I write projects I'm going to work on, and I actually sit down and I'll write out a plan of what I want to do in my business. And so that's one area I would recommend people start, is to write down what you want. Another thing that I would recommend is that you get the training that you need. I think the reason a lot of small businesses fail is people don't treat a business like a business. We're a corporation. It's a two-person operation, but we are a corporation. We're an S-Corp, and we have an accountant who handles all of that stuff. We hire the professionals that can help us to run our business smoothly. It hasn't always been that way. I have to say that we had to grow into getting the resources. But you have to reach a point where you say, okay, is it productive or counterproductive for me to do this part of my business? And unless you get the right kind of training, Chamber of Commerce can give you that training, SBA can give you that training, SCORE can give you that training. Online you can find plenty of coaches, but get the information you need to not create a business in a vacuum and to truly realize that it's going to take work. I mean, I have to say some of the paydays I have are just incredible, but I do work for it. And that's what I get frustrated with the people who make it sound like you don't have to do anything but press a button. You know, just sit back and watch all the money roll in. It doesn't work like that. You know, there is definitely effort you have to put into it.
Right.
But go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, I have put in many 18-hour days when
yeah.
I first started.
I know those days. I know those days well. And, Yet when you get your systems in place, you don't have to do as many of that, but as many of those. But then people like you and I, Willie, were a little obsessive, and you know, to me, it's a game at times. It's like, okay, I had this year was X amount of money I made. Well, next year I want to double it, and to see if I can do it, because it keeps me excited. And again, the more successful we are, the more we can contribute to the lives of others. I think that's a real important key.
But although I do tell myself this year I'm taking a lot more vacations, why don't we see if any of the callers do have questions? If that's okay with you.
That would be great. I'd love to.
Okay. We do have a caller at area code 972. Caller at area code 972. Did you have a question or comment for Kathleen?
The information, this is Felicia Grimes. The information is phenomenal.
Thank you, Felicia. And where's area code 972 from?
It's actually outside of Dallas in Lancaster, Texas.
Okay. Well, welcome. Thank you. Do you have a question?
No, I'm actually looking at your website and getting the free report right now.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you.
Excellent.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for listening.
Everybody listening, feel free to also tell others about the free report. I mean, it's not one of those things that you'll lose by sharing, so feel free to share it. We've got a call at area code 312. Did you have a question or comment for Kathleen? Call at area code 312. And I realize sometimes people call in just to listen over the phone rather than over the internet. Call at area code 256. Did you have a question or comment? Call at area code 256. Silence, okay?
Okay. You know, I'd like to share a little bit about collaboration. You used that term. What I have found in business is that if you find the right people to collaborate with, and you mentioned the report, you know, give it to people you know, because you may together come up with some really phenomenal ideas of projects that you can work on that can turn a business around. When Lori, the woman that her husband had his accident, she now works for a government agency. She works in the Division for Disability, of all things, and she trains the trainers. But when she and I first met, she was a mentor to me, but she was also a competitor to me. And over the process of time, we found that we both had so much to bring to the table that together we could actually create more value than trying to do it separately. So collaboration is a great way to do business, and that's what joint venture projects are about. That's what affiliate campaigns are about. And you teach that very well, Willie. I have to say that the last course that I went through with you, I'm thrilled that I went through it. It was probably the best investment that I've made, hands down. I got so much from it. And I look forward to when you put that out as a home study course, so that I can be an affiliate of yours and sell it, because
okay,
it was just...
I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal course. I can't even begin to tell you all that I learned from it. And more than anything, you're an inspiration, and you are a person that I can look to and say, hey, if he can do it, then I can do it, because he's gonna help me to believe in myself.
And for the listeners, that was I did a 6-week teleseminar series on doing joint ventures that I am adding some more material to, and then getting ready to release it as a home study course soon, but it's not quite ready yet. Any questions or comments, though, in the chat room for Kathleen? We have about 3 minutes left to go on the call, and if you have questions or comments about anything pertaining to hosting successful teleseminars, please go ahead and type those in. If not, I really want to thank Kathleen for being so so open and sharing with her information, because I've seen people charge big money just to get someone on a call like this and go over the things that she has shared with you. She shared a lot of stuff that you could actually put to immediate use right now if you wanted to. Now, I'd encourage you actually to go back and listen to the recording of the show again after it's all over with, but also to go over to sagemarketer.com/Kathleen and get the free report that she's offered, and tell your friends about it. You know, go over to Twitter, places like that, and tell them to go over and listen to the recording and download it. Mike Wesley is in the chat room, and Mike also said he's going to start following you on Twitter, Kathleen. But he asked, do you prefer structured or non-structured interviews?
I actually like both. It depends who's interviewing me. With somebody as seasoned as you interviewing me, we can go in a number of different directions. With some people, though, it needs to be very structured. So I would say both.
Right.
I just love doing interviews. I love presenting. It's just a thrill. So good question. Thank you.
And I've seen people who try to wing it, and if they've not done teleseminars before, you could tell that they completely lost their train of thought. And so it would have been better for them to have structured it.
Exactly. And it's the same with radio interviews. That's why if you're a good interviewee and you can carry the conversation, believe me, there will be times that you have to. So experience has given me the freedom to often think off the cuff. And that's really it. I do have a lot of experience at this.
And my experience is, you know, having spent 20 years in the military, where I was often asked questions where the best answer was, I don't know, I'll get back to you. I've learned now that very few questions can throw me for a loop, because if I don't know, I'll honestly say I don't know, you know. And,
exactly.
We are running out of time, so again, I want to encourage people to download the report and also to check out everything that Kathleen's doing. Inside the report, there are other links to her websites, to her program teaching you how to be an Amazon bestseller. And so do check it out and let all your friends over at Twitter, Facebook, and all those places know about it. Kathleen, thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
Willie, it's a pleasure. Thank you to all the listeners. And Willie, if you think I love you, you're right. And look forward to just doing some things in the future with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.